Well, Happy New Year. Happy New Year 2021. Oh my. You know, when I was a kid, my brothers and I would think we were watching a TV show called Space 1999. I don't know if some of you older guys, people know that one. But we're always going, wow, Space 1999. Now it's 2021. What's going on? Is that too fast? Right, Lana? I see you're shaking your head. Yeah. It's wonderful. New year, new starts. But the Lord doesn't ever change. He's the same. Huh? Same today, yesterday, and ever. Never. We can always trust and just keep our eyes upon Him. And He's always there for us. And today, as we're looking into His Word in Isaiah, back to chapter 9 there, we're looking at this Christ child, or really this child that was born with four names. And we went over a little bit last time what's going on there, and today we're going to be looking at one of those names called the Wonderful Counselor, and we're going to be looking at that today together. I don't know. Okay, you know, I used to watch a lot of TV, so sorry about this, guys. But when I was a kid, there was a TV show that I enjoyed watching. It's probably in the 60s. Am I dating myself already here? It was called Father Knows Best. Anybody remember that? Robert Young and Jane Wyatt and I think I forget some of the other ones too, but it was a show where, you know, it's just a nice family, and the kids, they had three kids, and, you know, they would be living life, and of course they'd be coming up against obstacles, some issues, some problems they had to solve, and, you know, they tried to solve them themselves most of the time, and then, you know, when it just got too tough or too complicated, you know where they went. All right, they went to, their dad, right? And he would just, you know, explain, you know, help them out. And, of course, they would follow his advice. And everything would just turn out rosy, fun, nice, perfect. You know, that's Father Knows Best. You know, he knew that. And I just enjoyed that. And of course, a lot of humor involved in that show, too. So it was kind of a fun show to watch. For me, boy, it wasn't so fun. I don't know about anybody here. Math. Why do we have this? I don't know why. But when I was growing up, math was my enemy. You see, I grew up as a Dallas Cowboy fan, and the Washington Redskins were enemies. And I had a neighbor, and he loved the Washington Redskins, and we always went at it. You know, but math was worse, even than a Redskin fan. You know, and I still remember just beating myself up, you know, because I try my best in these things, these numbers just flying around. I'm sitting there going, what do you do with these? And, you know, it would just get so bad to where I just almost feel like just giving up, you know, just yelling. I'd be yelling around the house, and I'd finally settle down. I'd go, Dad. Oh, Dad likes numbers. And I'd go to my dad, and he'd say, oh, what? He'd just start throwing things down and be going, huh, how did you do that? And after a while, I'd finally kind of get a little bit more understanding, and that, you know, the relief would come, and I'd be able to focus in and get those problems done so I can survive another day at school. So, but it was nice to have a dad to come to be able to help out. Problem is I beat myself up for about an hour beforehand, so I gave up an hour hour of TV time or whatever fun time that I was going to do, instead of just going to my dad right away. Nobody else is like that, right? I'm sure. Well, let me set the scene a little bit here, what we're talking about with this Wonderful Counselor. You know, in the days of Isaiah, Judah. See, they were split into two kingdoms, okay? You had Judah and you had Israel. You know, they were one kingdom, but then they decided to split up because of some issues, stuff like that. And they fought a lot. Brothers, family tend to fight a lot, right? What was happening there is they were really, Judah was in trouble because Israel and another country called Aram were mad at them, and they wanted to take them over and give them to another king, you know, split them apart. And they were under a lot of pressure. Well, they tried it, but they weren't able to to really get it done. So, it, you know, Jerusalem was able still to resist the battle and to be able to beat them back enough to survive. And but then, you know, the reason why they're attacking them, because Judah, the king of Judah at that time, was a guy named Ahaz, and he didn't want to join them in the fight against this big bully on the block called Assyria. So what Ahaz did, he did, instead of going to his father, he took all this money that he can gather from the temple and from his own treasuries, and he gave it to the king of Assyria and said, go attack those guys for me. Well, the king of Assyria said, okay. Went over there and defeated one of those countries. And as time went on, actually, Israel fell to Assyria during King Ahaz's reign as well. So they had a lot of these things going on, a lot of intrigue, trying to survive, gloomy, dark times. Isaiah gave two prophecies. Remember in chapter 7, he gave a prophecy about this child that was to be born, you know, of a virgin, and it was a child that his name was going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was saying that, you know, to encourage them. He said, there's somebody special's coming, you guys, you know, and they needed encouragement. And then later, there, right here in chapter 9, he's talking about a child again to be born. And this time, this child has these four names, and this the government's going to be on his shoulder. So this is going to be a great guy, all right, a powerful guy. And a lot of the Israelites or the Judahites back then probably saw this prophecy saying, "Oh wow, hey, I like that. Wonderful counselor, we need one. Prince of Peace, yes, we need peace. Get him coming. Oh, yeah, mighty God, everlasting Father. Okay, yeah, we know who God is. Yeah, we know who that is." So they would see it a little bit differently because they're seeing that Ahaz, and then he had a son called Hezekiah, and they said, that's the guy. Hezekiah's the guy. He's the one that's going to be the Prince of Peace and the wonderful counselor. He's going to lead us. Our kingdom's going to be peaceful. We're going to be defeating our enemies and all that stuff. And that's what they most likely were thinking. Problem is, Hezekiah was a good king, probably one of the better kings that followed God, but his kingdom was not at peace. He was trying to fight back the Assyrians and whatever else. And also, eventually, Hezekiah died. So, really wasn't the one. So now I'm pretty sure they're maybe even forgot or whatever, but as for us to be able to look back at the scriptures and all the timing, since we had the Bible, we can kind of say, oh yeah, this is more than just a man. You know, this is somebody who's going to take the government on his shoulders, but it talks forever and ever. It's talking about this Messiah that is to come. And that's what gets the people excited over that. And that's what the Israelites were looking for so long. Before we go on, we need to pray. I need to pray. Let's do that. Father God, we come before you amazed at who you are, that you are wonderful. And you are a counselor, Lord, and we need you. We need your grace to abound to us, to teach us your ways and to guide us and to bless us, Lord, and to remind us and to watch over us. Lord God, open up your hearts, open up our minds to receive your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. And may you receive all the honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So what's this wonderful counselor about? You know, people say, oh, wonderful counselor. I don't know. I mean, you know, for us to understand who this wonderful counselor is, it's important for us to how are we going to respond to him? And first of all, you know, some people say it's not really wonderful counselor. It's wonderful and then counselor. So I decided, okay, then if they want it that way, then we'll kind of split it up and kind of bring it back together again a little bit later. Wonderful I'll give you a little definition of wonderful or a wonder. It is a phenomenon lying outside the realm of human explanation. In other words, something that requires God as an explanation. I don't know about you. Have you ever thought about any wonders that you have seen? I know I have. I've seen many, many wonders. I've seen them in a spiritual realm. I've seen things that are darker than the darkness, and they were not friends, okay? I've seen waves hitting these rocks so powerfully that it would just move up high in the sky and come down, and it just grew stronger and stronger. And we had to get out of there when we were up there by Pismo Beach and stuff. We had to get out of there before we started getting swept out. You know, I've seen the power of God. I've also heard his quietness in the deserts of California, where everything, nothing, just a breeze, and you're just looking out in this wasteland, or what we think is a wasteland, but you hear his voice, and that his wonders cannot be explained. Somebody might say, oh yeah, but the tide happens this way, and the moon, and all this stuff. And I kind of say, yeah, but who created all that? So when you think about wonders, you go back to the creation story, right? And that's a wonder. That's only something God can do. It still confuses man to this day. How did he do it? Well, he spoke, and it came to be. Abundance was birth. Light came, you know, a variety. And everything was very, very good. That's the wonders of God. Another wonder is, if you ever looked at Psalm 139 and verse 14, it says this, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If you ever think about the process of a child being conceived and then growing and then also being born, it's an amazing process that only God could really do that. Because otherwise, if it wasn't done just right, nobody'd be born. We wouldn't have anybody living at all. You have things like the flood. If you ever read the Bible, flood, the time of the flood, that's a wonder, where God flooded the whole earth and he saved just a family to be able to start anew. If you read the story a little bit later on about this guy named Moses and leading these people through a sea, that high walls were on both sides, the sea, and they divided, God divided it for them. I know when I went to Universal Studios, I saw that. I went on that little ride and went through, and the water was piling up on the sides. I was going, ooh, that's pretty cool. Just think if it was real and walking through that. That's a wonder. That's a wonder. I'm thinking about Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, with all these other prophets around him, and they're saying, we already have this God, and this Molech, you know, stuff like that. And he's going, oh. He says, God, if you truly are, you're God, show yourself. And as God showed himself, fire came down and burnt that sacrifice on the altar and licked up all the water that they put on as well. He showed himself true, to be the true God. His apprentice called Elisha, excuse my voice, Elisha, he did double the amount of miracles that Elijah did. You know, if you ever read his story, he's doing one miracle. He's kind of like, he's almost like a superhero. He do this and do that. You know, he opens the eyes of his servant and he sees these chariots of fire surrounding an army that was trying to capture them. And all he did is just pray. And they became blind, and he led them to the king. He captured them. One guy captured an army. That's a wonder. You know what else is a wonder? What we just celebrated, the Christmas story. The virgin giving birth to a child. That's a wonder. Shouldn't happen. Can't happen. Did happen. Our Savior was born. And have you ever read about his life, the healings, the deliverance from demons, the calming of the storm and the walking on the water, the raising of the dead, the forgiveness of sin. That's a wonder. It shows his divinity. So your people are asking, well, what are these wonders? Well, that's just a few examples. Things that can only be described that there is a God. And whenever you look in the mirror in the morning, you should be going, oh, there is a God. Who would love somebody like that? Praise the Lord. Do you remember those Assyrians attacking? They came back to attack Jerusalem. They decided they wanted Jerusalem as well as Israel and that other country and all these other countries. And they surrounded the fortified city of Jerusalem. And it looked pretty bad. It looked pretty bad. Hezekiah was shaking in his boots. Isaiah was trying to encourage him. Well, in the evening, that one night, God went out and sent his angel of death and killed 185,000 of those Assyrian soldiers, and they went back with their tails between their legs. And they never came back to bother Jerusalem again. That's a wonder. That's God. That's who we can come to. So now we've got wonder and wonder and then wonderful. It's kind of like full of wonder, right? All that. And you go to, what is a counselor? Well, a counselor, because I went through counseling. I went through educational counseling. Guess my master's degree is in that. So what you do as a counselor is you listen to people and you reflect their thoughts, kind of help them understand, you know, what's going on, what they're saying and stuff. And then you try to give them some wise advice to follow. You know, and I know that there's a great feeling when you talk to somebody and they got some troubles and you're able to give them a little bit of advice and they carry it out and things go well and you kind of go, yeah. Problem is, then they come back in the next week with another problem. See, counseling is good. The thing is, it doesn't get to the issue of the real problem of the heart of man. The real problem's here. See, we just keep on going back and forth and all that. And, you know, the Bible is a book of wisdom. It teaches us to fear God, you know, in a way of just standing in awe of who he is. It's like these wonders. And to shun evil. You know, to stay away from trying to follow the path of the wicked. In Isaiah 11:3, I'm just going to turn to that here. Isaiah 11:3, actually 1-3, I'll read that to you. Listen to this. This is just a little bit further on, right? This is God speaking through Isaiah. He says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and his roots, a branch, from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And when you really look at that scripture closely, find out he's talking about the same person that he talked about in chapter 7 about this child being born of a virgin and also in chapter 9, this child with four names. It's the Messiah. It's Jesus, the one we celebrate his birth on Christmas. Isaiah 28:29 said this a little bit later on. It says, All this also comes to the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. See, God knows things that we don't know. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? He has this the whole understanding of creation, the past, the present, the future. He's the one that created time. He understands our hearts. He understands what the right way is. And he understands how to help us. Do you remember that story of Joseph? This young guy had a dream, a couple of dreams. Brothers got mad at him, sold him off to slavery, to Egypt. He was a slave for a little while, got caught up in something, got lied about, got thrown into prison. Things were looking pretty bad. God kept on speaking to him in visions. In fact, he gave him a special wisdom to be able to interpret dreams. And because he was able to interpret dreams of a couple of guys, he was eventually able to leave that prison and come before Pharaoh of Egypt, who had a dream. And he interpreted that dream correctly. And then Pharaoh's going, wow, thank you for telling me this. And how are we going to deal with this problem, this harsh famine coming up? And Joseph says, well, for the next how many years, you got all this good harvest coming in. Why don't you just start storing it? Pharaoh says, oh, that's a good idea. You're in charge. He became second in command. Eventually came to be, when that famine came, all the Egyptians were able to survive, as well as his family and other people living in that area, because of the wisdom God gave him, because he walked with him. It's wonderful. Counselor. But there's a problem in all of this. God, Jesus, is our wonderful counselor, but the problem is, the heart of the problem is us. Jeremiah 17:9, he wrote this. God just spoke to him. He just said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? See, our hearts, I don't know what it is about our hearts, my heart. But, you know, there's times where I'm going, yeah, 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 Lord. You know, I'm walking your way, and then I'm going, oh, yeah, 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 I'm going over there, going off the path. It's so easy. You know, my heart just leads me. But it goes back to Adam and Eve, and that I was just reading Genesis. We just started over in our reading in Genesis again, and that creation story, and, you know, where Adam and Eve are in the garden, you got all this fruit around them, and the serpent comes up, and with those deceptive questions, oh, and that fruit looking so good. I want to be like God. I want to be like God. I don't know about you. That's what I do with all the time. I want to be like God. I want to be God. So God, I want to make my own path. That's the problem of man. We want to make our own way. That's why you have all these different religions. And yet, God has made it clear that there's one way in Christ to follow. And that's for everybody. Everybody, all inclusive, but there's one way. Because all these other ways are man going their own direction, trying to do their own thing. In Psalm 78, in verses 9 to 11, it's talking about this tribe of Israel called Ephraim. I mean, they were a very powerful tribe. But that day, on the day of battle, they turned back. See, they did not keep God's covenant, and they refused to live by his law. You know what happened to them? They forgot the wonders that he had done. It's so easy to forget the wonders, isn't it? So easy to forget those waves crashing against the rocks, or the whisper you hear in a desert. It's so easy to forget that, isn't it? The wonders of your own salvation story, that you have been saved. That's a wonder. We tend to forget that, don't we? Ephraim did. They forgot it. They kept on sinning against God, and God had to deal with them, punish them. What happens to us? Well, in James, I'm going to turn to James 1. If I can get my hands over there. I'm going to read from verse 5 to 8 for you to listen here. This is what happens, okay? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So we can ask for wisdom, and he'll give it to us. But we got to what? We got to what? We got to ask. It doesn't just grow on trees, and we can sit there and go, oh, that's pretty. You know, we got to ask. It's got to come. We got to desire that, right? But when he asks, talking about me or whoever else, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So when we ask, we better believe that we're going to receive. If you don't, then you got to come before God and say, hey, there's something here. I don't know what it is, but my heart's playing games with me. I need to get real with you. He set me straight. Because I need to believe. Because I want to believe that this is what's going to happen as I ask. And I going back to Isaiah, all the way back to Isaiah 8 and 9. 8, you know, remember that they're really living in tough, difficult times. And here it said in verse 19, and I'm just going to read this in chapter 8 of Isaiah, it says, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists, who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? See, you know what happens for us today? Okay, there's still mediums and spiritists in our society today. And people go to those. But you know what else we do more and more? Science and medicine seem to have replaced the wonders of God. In fact, we run to science and medicine before we even go to God. I know. I a lot of times when I get headaches, I have Aleve is the best medicine for me, and I really you know, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that, you know, they're able to create out of His creation. You know, they just took what God made already, and they put it together in a way that when I take it, it helps relieve the pain of my headache. And when I ever take that pill, I try to remind myself, I need to thank God. I need to thank God for that medicine, because ultimately it really came from Him. See, we do forget that, though. I know I do. There's a lot of times when I'll just forget, you know, something. You rely upon science, rely upon, you know, what it says and things like that. But really, we need to start coming back to the basics of God, coming to God first and what He has for us. And because there's been times where He will, you know, if you go to other countries where medicine and sciences aren't available as much, people are still being healed. People pray over them, they healed. We've even heard people who are dead, and people pray for them, and they came alive again. See, things like that happen still. Excuse me. It's just in our society, though, just all this other stuff that's in front of us. We're just, it's kind of like walk down the aisle, get your thing, and you're okay. We forget about God. And all of that, the wonders that He's done for us, the wisdom and all of that. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. See, the message of Christ is foolishness to many. They rather have the science. That's something they can grab a hold of. You know, it's factual and stuff like that. But they forget about the long-lasting, the eternal part of them, They forget about their very souls that will last forever. A couple things that will last forever: God's word and people. So if God's word and people last forever, then do you think they're important? Yes, we are important, right? So if that's so, we need to take care of ourselves. And people say, well, a wonderful counselor. So what's so good about a wonderful counselor? Well, I'll tell you what's so good about wonderful counselors. He's got the plan. See, he's got the perfect plan for us. Everybody on this earth, he has a perfect plan for them. And once we're walking up, we get onto that plan, we don't have to come back to him going, what else? No, that's the perfect plan that he has for us. In Philippians 2, and the last part of 12 to 13, it says this: continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. See, you know, people say fear like, oh, it's scared. But it's really a fear like being in awe of his wonder, his wonderfulness. To go, God, you are God. You are God. I've seen you working in my life. I've seen you in creation. I hear your voice and your word. You're God. And I go forth trembling before you because I know how wonderful your salvation is. And I don't want to ever let go of that. That's the type of attitude we need to walk with in our lives. And he has a purpose for us in that. So this wonderful counselor, listen to what he does. Okay, this is the perfect counselor. He's the greatest teacher and he's the best counselor ever. See, he deals with us personally. Remember I told you what a counselor does? He listens to people who come to him. So he deals with us personally. He'll listen to us. He'll deal with us personally. You know how he did that? Not only does he listen, but he sent his son. See, if you go back to the Gospel of John and start reading that first chapter, you'll see that. You know, in the beginning was Word. And that Word in verse 14, that Word became flesh. That's Jesus, a miracle in himself. God and man in one, walking this earth. Because he has a plan. Perfect plan for us. He's able to carry it out. He's shown us the way. In 2 Corinthians 1-3, it talks about this God of all comfort. You know, he comforts us. He doesn't just say, oh, yeah, and I heard you, and get out of here. No, he walks with us. He comforts us. And when we're hurting, he comforts us. He's there for us. Emmanuel. He doesn't run away from us. He's there for us. He's able to help us. So he deals with us personally. You know what else he does? He diagnoses us properly. Have you ever been to a doctor? And they're saying, oh, yeah, you got this and that. And you go home and you start taking their medicines or whatever, and it's just not working. You go back and they go, oh. Oops, I missed that. Oh, you actually got this thing. Instead of that thing. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong medicine. See, because man is man, right? We try our best, but there's times when we miss things. But God diagnoses us properly. Listen to this. He knows us. He knows us really well. Listen, I don't want to scare you. Listen, John 3:19 says this. This is what Jesus said. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. There it is. We love darkness. We like to do our own thing. We like to make our own way. Well, we can try to, you know, a lot of good people around, but I guarantee you, if you look at really why people do things, most of the time it's for themselves. Make themselves feel better. Make points. I know a lot of great Buddhists in the world. They're better people than I am. Oh, big time. They're making points. Problem is, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. See, our plan's not good enough, but God's plan is. See, he knows our heart, so he diagnoses us perfectly. You got problems in your heart, guy. We got to help you out. I'm going to show you how. Because not only does he diagnose us properly, but then he delivers us powerfully. If you have your Bible, turn to Colossians. Remember, we've studied in Colossians not too long ago. Seems like 100 years ago, doesn't it? Book of Colossians. And we're going to go to chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 13. I'm going to read 13 to 15. See, he delivers us powerfully in this way. He says, when you were dead in your sins and in an uncircumcision of your sinful nature, oh my, God made you alive with Christ. Oh my, you can't tell me that's not a wonder. We were dead in our sins. But God made us alive with Christ. And it goes on. You know what he did? He forgave us. He forgave us all our sins. No, not just that sin I did last night or the one a couple years back. No, the word is all. Oh. Oh, but that sin was so bad over there. Oh. But I'm really a bad sinner. No way. I did all this and that. I tried to kill somebody, or I did kill somebody, or I did do this. I'm a liar. I'm a cheater. I rob and I do all this other. Oh. Oh. Our sins are forgiven. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away. He took it away. You know what he did? Nailing it to the cross. Why do you think he went to the cross? He's nailing it to the cross. All that stuff. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, yeah, those things are darker than the darkness. All those powers and authorities out there to steal, kill, and destroy us. He made a public spectacle of them. How? Triumphing over them by the cross. They thought they won. They put him on the cross. Yeah, we got you, Jesus. You're dead, man. Problem is, they didn't quite understand what the plan was. Yeah, Jesus died. But we know what happened 3 days later. See, Christmas is so important that our Savior is born. Perfectly, wonderfully, miraculously, to be our wonderful counselor. But in Easter, we look upon his death and we rejoice in what he did 3 days later. He defeated death. He defeated the grave for us. He arose and he's resurrection. Firstborn of the resurrection. That's the plan. And he says, follow me. Follow me. This is on the path, guys. Follow me. Follow me, John. Follow me, Dave. Follow me, Randy. Follow me, Carlos. Follow follow. I got a perfect plan for you. I'm your wonderful counselor. So what do we do with this? You know what? And I have to teach this to myself, okay? I'm go to God first. Go to God first. In Matthew 6:33, it says, what? What did this, does anybody know that? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things are given to you. So we want this and that and this and I want this and that. That's, what do you got to do? First, go to God. Well, he'll come. He knows exactly what you need. He knows what I need. See, I know, and Joy would say, she even yesterday, I get frustrated sometimes very quickly. You know, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I just feel in a bad mood. I just get angry. You know, things don't go my way. You know, and I'm a PE teacher. I can get loud, guys. You'd be amazed how loud I can get. Then when I finally calm down, and sometimes Joy says, well, pray about it. I go, no, I don't want to pray about it. I don't want to pray about it. I want to do it myself. Don't tell me to pray about it. I tell you, there's many times that's don't. I don't want to talk to God. I want to do it myself. That's all there is to it. I tell you, there's sometimes in front of a computer, Jeff, in front of a computer, which is another enemy of mine at times, times when I just sit there and kind of go, and, you know, if I had a lot of hair, it just coming out. And I just, and there's, I remember one time just recently, I actually prayed before I really got mad. And I tell you something, I'm not kidding you. Things started to come to my mind and say, oh, I just do this. And go, oh, yeah, you just go back here and you did. I'm just kind of, my fingers are kind of going like that. It's kind of like I'm out of the body experience, you know, there's a vision going on, you know, boom, boom, boom. And the thing worked. And I sat there and I went, huh? This has never happened before. But you know what? I don't pray first very often. I guess I didn't learn from that experience very much because I'm still very prideful. I want to do it my way. But I tell you something, it's best come to the counselor, the wonderful counselor first before you start pulling out that hair, before you start beating your head against the wall. Come to him. Another one is follow his wise counsel. Do you remember the story of Naaman? I don't know. In 2 Kings, you know, you have to go way back. This guy was a great warrior of the country of Aram. So he whatever he did, he defeated people. Well, one time some people went out, raided Israel, and they came back with some slaves. And he had one of the slaves, a slave girl, come to his house. And he had a problem. His big problem was he had skin disease. They might have called it leprosy or whatever. You know, and they didn't want to be around people like him much, but he was such a great warrior. And that girl said, well, why don't you just go see the prophet there in Israel? He'll help you. He can heal you. He goes, oh, really? So he gets a letter, goes over to the king of Israel and says, here, heal me. And the king of Israel goes, what? I can't heal you. Am I God? Am I God? And he tears his robe, you know, his kingly robe. And he's going, you're trying to make fight with me, aren't you? You know, but then a guy named Elisha, which was Elijah's apprentice, and he says, hey, what's going on here? Just send him my way. I can help the guy. And then as Naaman came up to Elisha's house, Elisha didn't even go outside. He just sent a servant out there and said, hey, tell him to go dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, Naaman got all mad. What? The guy didn't even come out. And he tells me to go to the Jordan River? Dip myself. My rivers back where I live are a lot cleaner than this one. Good. He's getting mad. He's saying, I'm going home. But his friends around him said, hey, Naaman, hey, now listen, if the advice was, you know, you had to go and fight 10 lions with one arm tied behind your back, would you do it? You know, to get healed? And he was going, oh, yeah, maybe. You know, he says, but, you know, just follow his advice, follow it. And so he did. He dipped himself seven times, and the seventh time he came up, and his skin was like a young boy's skin. Perfect. Follow his counsel. It might be kind of odd. It might be kind of weird, something that you didn't expect. Follow his counsel. And the last one, remember that he's the one who healed that paralyzed man who was lowered in front of him. He healed him. He just told him, get up from that mat and go and walk. See, he's the one who provides that healing. The wonderful counselor provides the healing, the forgiveness, and a new start. So if you ever remember anything, remember this. Father knows best. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you just rejoicing in your word and your hope that we have in you and the truth of your word. Guide us in it. Help us to follow you, to seek you first above all other things. Allow you to work your wonders in and through our lives, to show us your wonders that we can point others to you in your wonders and who you are, that many more can join into this kingdom of light, this wonderful kingdom of yours. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen.